Hi, I'm John Trader with M2SIS Healthcare Solutions, and welcome to another installment of our podcast series where we interview industry professionals for information, analysis, and opinions on the biggest issues that face the healthcare and biometrics industries. Our topic today is the ever-increasing need to establish secure, efficient, user-friendly, and interoperable online identity credentials for consumers. The digitalization of the world economy has created demand for privacy-enhancing identity solutions that support civil liberties and improve security. Running parallel to the need for trusted identities in cyberspace is the need for identities to be interoperable so that individuals can manage multiple credentials and choose which to use for a particular transaction or activity. The demand to establish a more secure identity ecosystem requires solutions to be user-friendly and convenient, including equitable access to the tools that establish this online identity credential for everyone, not only the affluent. Joining us on the podcast today is Jim Scheer, a senior advisor with the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, otherwise known by the acronym NSTIC, N-S-T-I-C, which is a U.S. government initiative announced in April of 2011 to improve the privacy, security, and convenience of sensitive online transactions through collaborative efforts with the private sector, advocacy groups, government agencies, and other organizations. NSTIC charts a course for the public and private sectors to collaborate to raise the level of trust associated with the identities of individuals, organizations, networks, and services involved in online transactions. Jim manages strategic alliances with NSTIC stakeholders and serves as chief evangelist in outreach and communications. Jim previously served as an aide to Senator Ron Wyden as the policy specialist for Philips Electronics and most recently in business development and communications for NXP Semiconductors. We invited Jim to the podcast today to discuss the goals and initiatives of NSTIC, how they are advancing the need to establish trusted identities in cyberspace, and what impact they are making to advance the cause. Jim, thank you for your time today, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Jim, let's start with a brief overview of NSTIC. Can you please provide us with background on who NSTIC is, your mission and objectives, and details on the goal of creating an identity ecosystem?
So the NSTIC, another Washington acronym, stands for the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. It's a strategy that was launched by the White House in 2000. Its main goal is to establish an identity ecosystem. It's an ecosystem where individuals can voluntarily choose from a single or one of multiple digital identities of their choice to conduct business anywhere on the Internet anytime. And it's really based on four fundamental guiding principles. The first one is interoperability. So if you choose a credential, imagine choosing your Google account or a Verizon or a Symantec account or other one, again, voluntarily, you would be able to interoperably use that anywhere. This really gets at this problem, I think, that we have online of having to create yet another new username and password wherever you go. Each website seems to demand this. So the NSTIC envisions a world where you can choose to use a credential to log in anywhere interoperably, so greatly simplifying, making the online experience much more convenient. The second guiding principle is security and resiliency. So you probably know that the current system of usernames and passwords, so a single factor of authentication, the password, is just hopelessly broken. It's increasingly vector of attack, of vulnerability in online websites. A week doesn't seem to go by where we don't hear about some trove of passwords that's been stolen, which are then reused to commit fraud elsewhere on the Internet. I think it's something like over 69% of intrusions, network intrusions, due to bad credentials, bad password management, according to the Verizon report. And so what NSTIC envisions is looking at methods to replace the password with better methods. And these would be things like two-step or multi-factor authentication. So instead of, or in addition to passwords, looking at things like biometrics, looking at device identifiers, you know, what are ways we can make these accounts, especially sensitive accounts, you know, think healthcare, health electronic health records, or bank accounts, you know, how can these be better secured? The third guiding principle, very important, is privacy. Is it how can we foster the creation of an identity ecosystem that offers privacy-enhancing options to individuals? What does this mean? It means, a lot of us are used to putting information on social networks like Facebook and elsewhere, but then it becomes a little, folks start asking questions about how that personal information is shared. When we log into a website and it asks us, for example, to log in with Facebook, a good example of interoperability, by the way, but we ask ourselves, what information from my wall, what photos are being shared? There don't seem to be good or adequate privacy mechanisms there to basically give folks a sense that they can voluntarily choose to share this information with better privacy controls. So NSTIC is looking to enshrine better privacy policies and how the ecosystem works to give users better privacy-enhancing means to over their personal information. And then lastly, of course, none of this is going to work unless it's usable. If you have a good user experience, it's convenient. Usability is the fourth NSTIC guiding principle. And it basically says that the solutions we develop that are better security, are interoperable, these things need to be easy to use and convenient. And if they aren't, frankly, folks are not going to use them. I think we've seen this challenge in the past with hardware tokens and high-end solutions, and often there's been questions raised as to whether consumers will use those, since, in an online shopping or other experience where they're used to a great deal of convenience. So that's really what that is a key fundamental guiding principle. So what is NSTIC doing to foster this strategy, this vision of an ecosystem based on these guiding principles? So we have three major thrusts to our program. The first is funding, providing pilot project funding to pilot projects in the private market who are innovating and launching really interesting projects to foster and support the guiding principles and help catalyze this market for these solutions. And touching on healthcare, which I know is of interest to your listeners, a really interesting one that I'll share a bit about today is what the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, or AMVA, is doing in the state of Virginia, and in particular with the Innova healthcare system. It's a healthcare system here in Northern Virginia near Washington, where I sit. And what they are doing is thinking about how they can allow Innova patients to access their health records online, so their electronic health records, but instead of old username and password systems, bringing their own credential, bringing a Google or a Microsoft or another account for login, so you don't have to create a new account. It then, so once you bring that, the really interesting piece then is that it will proof your identity. So, of course, large institutions, especially healthcare providers, want to make sure that the person accessing a record is who they say they are. So in this case, the pilot partnered with the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, the DMV. And what they're doing is doing a basic identity check on who you say you are with the DMV. And once that checks out, they look you up, Innova does, in their own system, and make sure that your record is there, matches you up, sends a code to your mobile phone that's on record, and that's what matches up the patient with their record. So you have interoperability, you have better security using some two-step authentication methods, and it's very easy to use. The portal is pretty intuitive. Looks a lot like what you see increasingly online with logging in with Google or another account. And it's baked in from the start are the privacy protections you need in the healthcare space as regulated by HIPAA, plus some really interesting privacy-enhancing methods that NSTIC is promoting and how a system like that works. So good example of the kind of pilot. We've awarded over $17 million now to 12 pilots in the private sector and several states, Michigan, Pennsylvania in particular. The second thrust is to lead the government, the federal government, in this space. And really we're trying to rally and bring the government to the ecosystem as an early adopter. So our office has been instrumental in getting a new service off the ground called the Federal Cloud Credential Exchange. It's FCCX or F6. And there, the government itself is thinking about how to accept, or is actually deploying, a service to accept third-party credentials as well. So bringing identities to access government services, and instead of having to, again, create a new username and password at every agency and every department that you need to interact with online. And this is really valuable to federal government because, you know, they struggle with how do we in an era of tight budgets bring more services online. It's much more efficient for them to bring these services online, frankly, where a lot of citizens would like to access them, rather than having to do services in person or by mail, which is very costly and time consuming. So this really is about the government wanting to move more services online to become in a more cost effective way. But at the same time, with these new credentials, you know, follow the privacy, security, and other important guidelines that government needs to follow in interacting with citizens in these sensitive online transactions very often. So, you know, think if you want to apply for benefits, file your taxes, check your Medicare claims, and so forth. So getting the government in the game is an important piece of what NSPIC is about, and expect to hear more here in the coming months about the launch of the first agencies and departments that are going to be deploying this. And there's a lot of information online, including on our website, NSTIC.gov.
That's a great comprehensive overview. Thank you, Jim. And I especially appreciate you mentioning the pilot at Inova, which is a topic I'm actually going to touch on a little bit later in the podcast to ask you some specific questions about it.
Great. So the third major component of NSTIC is facilitating private sector-led group. It's called the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group, or IDESG, to convene the private sector to establish a framework of rules, of policies, of standards or references to standards, a framework that we're calling the Identity Ecosystem Framework, that will basically provide the policy foundation for how the private sector can then leverage the ecosystem, you know, incorporated into their everyday business and in the way they conduct transactions online. So if you ask, you know, how would a healthcare provider know which identities to accept and which policies to follow, the framework that the IDESG is developing, again, under private sector leadership, should provide a good framework in which they can engage and leverage the solutions that are emerging in this market space. So we provided grant funding to support the group for 2 years, and they have just made the transition now to an independent organization under a new management council and board. They just held their eighth in-person plenary meeting. Meeting in committees and plenary sessions to hash out what this framework will look like, how it will serve community needs, and you know, in the committees in particular, establishing the specific components, the specific policies, rules that will be part of this framework. So they are meeting on an ongoing basis, and if you are interested in, you know, helping shape what this ecosystem will look like someday, and how it will bring value to your organization, to you as an individual, you as a business, you know, certainly NSTIC, the NPO, the National Program Office, strongly encourages you to look at the IDSG as a great place to engage and help shape what this framework will look like. It's at IDESG, the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group. You can find them online at idecosystem.org. So a great group. Their next meeting actually coming up in the Washington, D.C. area in mid-June, June 16th, 17th, hosted by NIST, actually, in Gaithersburg. So, you know, we certainly encourage all to be a part of the work.
Now, is this just for businesses, Jim, or can individuals get involved as well?
No, it's open to all, individuals, businesses, nonprofits. The way it's structured, actually, is that, you know, NSTIC from the start recognized that there were a broad range of stakeholders that would be critically needed to make an ecosystem a reality. And there are stakeholder groups for state and local governments, for relying parties, for regulated industries, for unaffiliated individuals, for civil society. There's a stakeholder group for privacy advocates. All are represented in the IDSG, including on the Management Council, to ensure that the work of the IDSG is well aligned in what it's setting out to create.
Great. A very detailed overview. Thank you for going into so much detail about what NSTIC is doing and some of the pillars that you operate under. Jim, a lot of people may look at the concept of establishing a trusted identity in cyberspace that NSTIC is pushing forward and wonder why this concept is important enough to warrant government intervention. Jim, why is now the right time to establish a national strategy for trusted identities in cyberspace?
Well, the strategy launched in 2011 really recognized and addresses a lot of the problems and challenges we're facing online today. So one that I mentioned is basically the hopelessly broken nature of the username and password. You know, as mentioned, it's increasingly a vector of attack for fraudsters to access accounts and sensitive information, enable them to commit identity theft and other forms of fraud. So with the prevalence of that solution in the market space, Anstic really is aimed at providing consumers, individuals, everyone with, frankly, solutions that are at once secure, usable, and usable. It can provide those options so that there's a better way to do business online so that consumers can trust those transactions online. Because, you know, as we know, identity theft and fraud is a rising problem. I mean, a good recent example, of course, being, for example, the Target breach. Their access to payment credentials, access to the trove of data on customers that Target holds, the password hacks we've heard at LinkedIn and other properties, these are just increasingly prevalent online. So the Anstic sees a way forward, again, by partnering with the private sector and the IDSG as the primary vehicle to develop better solutions. Since the strategy really recognizes that it's the government can play a facilitation role here and support entities and processes like the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group, but it's really the private sector that will step up and provide the tools and technologies that will offer a solution to these problems. So, but in addition to the security issue, there's a real dialogue that needs to happen here on privacy. So how private is that information? How is it shared? With whom is it shared? What kind of access or recourse do individuals have? That is an important piece of this dialogue as well to address international strategy like the Anstic.
Great point. Thanks for explaining the urgency of this initiative, Jim. You brought up identity theft, and I want to turn our discussion to the ability of criminals to steal our online identities and use that information to commit crime and fraud. Identity theft is a very serious issue in our society, and one I feel that consumers may not know enough about in order to prevent it or even realize they're a victim. In a world where identity theft crimes are rising fast, Jim, how easy has it become for criminals to steal online identities, and is there a shared societal cost of identity theft?
You know, certainly I think what we've seen in recent years is the proliferation of data on individuals that are now available, not just to enable great services and products online, but these have also become valuable to fraudsters. If you think of a website that starts aggregating information, so numerous details, you know, about your life, about your personal life, about your shopping habits, your travel, and so forth, think of these as basically honeypots of personal information that are attracting fraudulent activity and enabling identity theft at an alarming rate. And so, what Anstic is really about is thinking about how about the personal information that is collected currently, you know, from a privacy perspective. Ask fundamental questions like, if you're conducting a transaction online, why share everything about yourself? I mean, certainly there are compelling business reasons for many entities online to want to have more complete profile information on their consumers, and they enable great services and products, as I said. But Anstic asks questions like, well, why would you need to share more information about yourself than is needed to complete that particular transaction at that time? The concept of data minimization. With whom are you sharing? What third parties are you sharing that information with? You know, again, maybe a trend in the market is personal information or information on customers being a valuable commodity is to want to share that or sell it or package it or analyze it, but maybe there should be better tools and policies in place on how that's shared. So avoid the creation of these honeypots and the proliferation of data that really is frequently an enabler of identity theft. So as mentioned, Anstic just sees a different way of doing this. You know, how do we build more trust in online transactions from consumers? And we think we have some methods that will build that trust, in particular by providing a better security and a better set of privacy tools to minimize the risks of the proliferation of personal data.
an all-important word, trust, when it comes to online transactions. Very important information. Thanks for the insight on that question, Jim. We would like to touch on the notion of privacy and the struggle to adopt more secure online identities with minimal or no effect on personal privacy, which is an area that many people feel is being eroded as we digitize many parts of our economy and communication. I'm sure one of the biggest questions in people's minds, Jim, is how NSTIC feels about privacy as a part of your efforts. Can you tell us how delicate is the balance between creating trusted online identities and the right to privacy, and what safeguards are in place to protect it?
Well, as mentioned, you know, privacy is a fundamental guiding principle of the national strategy. You know, we've made sure, or we've tried to ensure that privacy advocates, those that are concerned about this, about developments in privacy online, have a seat at the table in how, for example, the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group is developing tools and policies and solutions on, frankly, a better way forward in conducting transactions online and how personal information is shared. Another way that the NSTIC is promoting privacy and privacy-enhancing technologies is in our work in launching the federal government F6, the Federal Cloud Credential Exchange. And it enshrines as does much of the strategy, in fact, it's specifically referenced in the NSTIC document, enshrines the Fair Information Practice Principle. So a set of guidelines that represent widely accepted concepts in the community regarding fair information practices online in the electronic marketplace. So that is really a fundamental set of principles that we are baking into all of our projects, including, for example, in how we evaluate, select, and help guide our pilot projects and how they're deploying solutions in a number of sectors like education, financial services, health, and so forth. So I can't stress enough how important a component of the NSTIC privacy is, and the FIPS, and it really guides all elements of our work and how we're trying to inform this dialogue going forward, including how the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group is approaching a framework of policies, which need to include a good set of privacy policies that will underpin the envisioned identity ecosystem.
Great. Thanks for the feedback on that question, Jim. I would like to shift our discussion to the healthcare industry, which is actively seeking to find a solution to the persistent patient matching problem that has the potential to jeopardize many aspects of quality care, endanger the life of a patient, and create problems with advancing interoperability between healthcare systems within the market. Jim, NSTIC has been actively working with healthcare agencies, organizations, and the private sector to advance the cause of creating a trusted identity. What can you tell us about how NSTIC is working with the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, perhaps better known by the acronym ONC, and private entities to advance the initiative of establishing a trusted identity for patients in healthcare?
Well, I would say at the heart of the ONC-NSTIC collaboration is the health segment and ONC itself, of course, looking to how NSTIC's notion of trusted identities, that is, identities that provide good security, good privacy-enhancing approaches, so both important concepts in the HIPAA context, with a way to sort of better verify the identities of individuals. So if in the ecosystem, or the identity ecosystem that NSTIC envisions, patients, citizens now have a voluntary access to solutions, say the credentials, that can, when logging into, for example, access electronic health records, provide a better means for those health record, those health entities, if in hospitals or health chains, and so forth, if they have better tools to verify the identities with the security and privacy enhancing features, that could enable a great deal of what's envisioned by ONC in how citizens will access electronic health records and how those electronic health records can improve healthcare delivery in the United States. So when they are wrestling with a challenge like how to match patients across records, you know, these tools could be very useful in how the health segment can identify individuals to view their records, to download them, of course, but then ultimately how record information, how patient individual health record information can be exchanged, can be shared. So, because, you know, I think that's a clear, great example of sensitive information that folks, you know, are going to want to know is secure and that their personal health privacy is being adequately protected. If electronic health records are going to reach their true promise and potential of improving healthcare delivery, sharing with doctors, hospitals amongst each other, all with a good set of controls that are available to patients on how it all works. So then I summarize that as synergy. So Health ONC really looking to NSTIC and what we're doing in the ecosystem to develop these new voluntary options for consumers to bring these trusted identities, these better credentials to access health information online, enable a broad range of health-related services. So, you know, we're working together very closely. ONC is directly engaged in our IDSG, our Identity Ecosystem Steering Group, as a stakeholder. They follow with great interest several of our pilots, but in particular the Innova healthcare pilot I mentioned previously on how these credentials can be leveraged for patients accessing their records and with great lessons learned and you know, one we hope will inform ONC rules and requirements around meaningful use and other areas going forward.
Thanks for the overview about your collaborative efforts with the healthcare industry, Jim. I'd like to focus on one point that you mentioned regarding interoperability for a moment. Continuing on the theme of interoperability and specifically addressing the topic of biometrics for patient identification in healthcare, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which established NSTIC, has interoperable standards for iris, face, and fingerprint biometrics, but other forms of biometrics don't yet have a standard. Would NSTIC ever recommend for an organization that wants to implement an identity credentialing program for patients to select a technology that does not have an interoperable standard? And furthermore, how could a non-standardized identity credential hinder an organization in the future?
Well, that's a complex question. So let me start it first and foremost with, so NSTIC as a public-private partnership and strongly oriented towards facilitating private sector leadership in this area really isn't about picking one-size-fits-all solutions or pointing to specific methods or security approaches or multi-factor authentication methods to solve particular sectors' problems, including, for example, healthcare. You know, we're really more about funding pilots, facilitating work, you know, especially in the private sector-led steering group, where the private sector comes together and, you know, mindful of the NSTIC overall guiding principle that we need more secure and more resilient solutions, really thinking about what are the security methods, and it might include methods like biometrics, provide the kind of tools to improve security within their particular sector. So if you think of the healthcare entities that are participating in the steering group, coming to that dialogue and saying, well, look, we need to improve the security of our system. So there's no doubt about that. And so what is out there that we could leverage? And so they might have a dialogue with committees in the steering group that are looking at security methods, including biometrics as methods that can be pointed to or referenced or incorporated into the overall framework of solutions. So as you can imagine, there are a number of solution providers, vendors also participating that would like to be looked at. And everybody, I think, acknowledges the importance and value of interoperable standards or standards-based approaches that are open and interoperable. And being such a fundamental, what's so fundamentally important about the ecosystem going forward, and again, it's enshrined in the interoperability principle. So yes, I'd say there's a lot of dialogue around what sort of open interoperable standards, including security methods, could be looked at to incorporate. But as I said, it's an independent private sector-led group now, so you know, yes, we as NSTIC as NIST have a seat at that table as one of many federal government stakeholders and are happy to contribute where we can, but it's going to be up to them to make the decisions. But yeah, I'd say on the whole, standards-based solutions are getting a close look.
Thank you for the feedback on those questions, Jim. The rise of biometrics for patient identification has raised some questions about how feasible some of the technology being used is for true interoperability among disparate health systems, mainly because of the non-standardization of some biometric patient identification technologies. So we appreciate you providing details for our listeners on that topic. Continuing our discussion on the theme of healthcare, the Ponemon Institute, a company that conducts independent research on privacy, data protection, and information security policy, recently released a report that said cases of medical identity theft in healthcare have risen close to 20% from just 1 year ago, signaling that the problem is not getting better but worse, and could potentially increase with the plethora of online tools and portals now available to patients to access their personal health information, plus the number of patients being added to the healthcare rolls through the Affordable Care Act. I'd like to ask you, Jim, as the healthcare industry moves towards a more patient-centric model and opens data access to patients through online portals and other tools, what impact could a trusted online identity have on reducing medical identity theft?
Well, I'd say a fundamental reason that NSTIC is spending a lot of time coordinating with OMC these days is precisely for those reasons, that this looming crisis in online identity in healthcare, or potential crisis, really it demands better ways of conducting transactions online, transactions including how you interact with your healthcare provider. And it's especially sensitive in how your electronic health records are accessed and shared. So I think everybody acknowledges that, frankly, a better way is needed. So NSTIC came along at a great time as healthcare struggles with these challenges in online security and in how information is shared. So the privacy related HIPAA related issues. You know, NSTIC really provides a compelling tool set that can enable these applications by really earning or doing a better job of earning patient trust in how these systems are going to work. And thanks to the way many are baking in or they're keenly aware of how these solutions need to be usable and provide a good user experience, you know, which a lot of us are accustomed to in the way we interact online every day, they need that consumer acceptance as well. So I'd say that's really at the heart of what ONC and NSTIC are trying to accomplish together, and that is fulfill ONC's vision of what electronic health records can enable and how it can improve the delivery of healthcare, but with tools and better approaches to identity and fundamental issues of online security and privacy that NSTIC is developing. And, you know, as mentioned, we have pilots in the federal government that are actually deploying this in healthcare scenarios. So those provide really valuable case studies and lessons learned for how this can look going forward. So, you know, I'd expect a lot of continuing dialogue here and much more evidence of work in the way ONC and NSTIC are collaborating. So it's definitely an exciting area to follow, and you can do so if you visit our website, NSTIC.gov. We actually have a blog where we periodically blog on health topics, NSTIC notes, so both good sources of information on the work we're going to be doing together going forward.
Thanks for the information on that topic, Jim. I will be sure to put a link to both the NSTIC website and blog on correspondence surrounding the podcast so our listeners have the opportunity to visit and see some of the things your agency is doing. Plus, I will mention how you are actively involved in social media to help spread the word about your initiatives.
Yeah, good. Another good content piece to mention is to follow us on Twitter. It's at NSTICNPO.
Finally, I understand that NSTIC is actively involved in a few pilots to advance the initiatives you have set to increase the availability and use of trusted identities in cyberspace for the healthcare industry. You alluded to one of these earlier in our conversation. I'd like you to expand a little bit about what NSTIC is doing at Innova at their AAMVA pilot in terms of what's next for patient security and privacy.
The health sector is looking at a number of different ways to do this. It's obviously a very large sector, you know, with very disparate, very, very wide ranging. And so, you know, you see a number of different ways or different methods on how to address this. You know, I'd say I was at the, we were presenting on the ONC and NSTIC collaboration along with ANOVA at the recent HIMSS conference. And, you know, a lot of the subsequent sort of hallway dialogue focused on many healthcare institutions asking, well, you know, we see the way the consumers like are increasingly using their Google or Facebook accounts to log in instead of creating a new account, which customers love because it lets them get into the sites quickly. It's convenient. It means only having to remember one password. Several cases, they actually have two-step authentication enabled. You know, Google's a good example. So they have a better security approach. How can we bring this to, how can we bring this convenience to our patients? And, but in the back of their mind, of course, is how to do this in a secure way, or in the case of some social logins, Facebook, of course, immediately raises questions of, well, wait a minute, do I want all my wall information and photos or even my records themselves somehow not being protected or even actively shared? So these are tough questions. So I think what we're talking about or what we've deployed in ANOVA is just getting a strong look because folks are interested in the power of the convenience and how it enables patient access, but with a better way of doing security with a solid set of privacy policies in place that can earn the trust of the patient in using those tools, and importantly provide the healthcare the holder a way to authoritatively or accurately verify the identity of that person, because of course you want to make sure that the person who's trying to interact with you online is who they say they are in accessing sensitive information. So we had a great turnout at our session. It simulated a lot of dialogue. HIMSS itself has launched an identity task force internally to start that is also NSTIC is and ONC both involved there to have this dialogue within the healthcare community. So I think there's a growing interest in this as a powerful set of tools for patient convenience and security and privacy that can really help enable these systems going forward.
This has been a very productive and informative conversation, Jim, to get more information on what NSTIC is doing. So we really appreciate all the information you have provided for us today. I'd like to take a moment and thank Jim for offering his time and insight on NSTIC's work to establish more trusted identities for consumers and for providing us with his feedback during our discussion today. For more information on NSTIC's efforts, you can visit their website at www.nist.gov/NSTIC, N-S-T-I-C, and please follow them on Twitter under the handle @NSTICNPO. You can also find a video on NSTIC under the National Institute of Standards and Technology YouTube page. Thank you so much for your time today, Jim.
I really appreciate your having me, and feel free to follow up if you would ever like to have an update on the NSTIC progress in the future.
Absolutely, and as a matter of fact, I was just thinking that it would be a great idea to invite you to a future podcast to provide us with an update on NSTIC's efforts to create a trusted identity in cyberspace. This concludes our podcast for today. We hope that you enjoyed the topic and our guests, and encourage you to tune in to future podcasts where we interview industry professionals on topics that relate to the healthcare and biometrics industry. For a full list of all of our podcasts, please visit our podcast page at www.m2sys.com/healthcare/healthcare-biometrics-podcast. See you on our next podcast.